10, let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be able to come into your presence again this evening, to gather together with the saints. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've just sang, and those two songs concerning prayer just kind of seem to get our hearts in an attitude for prayer and worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, even as one of the verses of the last song talked about trusting Him for all of our cares and for the things of life and things that come our way. It goes along with our thoughts and from the book of Ezekiel chapter 10 tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would bless. We are thankful that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and that providence is in your hands, and it's always moving, is never still. You determine what you have purposed for your people and for the rest of the world. We just pray now, Lord, you'd bless the preaching of your word. Bless our thoughts and our hearts. Give us understanding of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This 10th chapter of Ezekiel, and last week we started a new section for this chapter, and particularly dealing with verse 8 on down through the end of the chapter. We've titled the main point there, the God's providence, and which is displayed in the wheels of the living creatures and the living creatures. Tonight we want to think about those wheels. We want to think about the fact that those wheels are never still. They're always turning. As we read verse 9 of this 10th chapter, he said, "And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone." We will find out and see, just as we did in the first chapter, that these wheels were one. We immediately visualized separate wheels, but these wheels were one, we see. And then as we think about the beryl stone, and we won't have much to say about it, because we said a lot in the first chapter about the beryl stone. It is a precious stone. Probably they said a chrysanthemum, or something like that. Not a chrysanthemum, but a crystallite or something of that nature. A yellowish cast stone. But several translations, and I don't know about the newer ones, but these would be old, Talmud and the Oh, I can't think of the other one. But they would have been older translations, just listed as precious stone. What that would signify to us is, as these wheels represent the fact that God's providence is never still, it's always going up and down from Him to this earth, to all of His creation. It never, never stands still. And it's precious. If you can really get a glimpse and a grasp of God's providence and how that it is to all creatures, to all of His creation, and it never standing still, that's precious. He doesn't mete out to you, to I, what we want, what we think we need, but according to His purpose. You see, and especially His people, He knows what's best for them. And for the rest who are not His people, who are not the saved, He knows their end and their purpose. But just think about that. He takes care of them during this life. They have food and they have drink. They have clothing. They have air. They have sunshine. And all the benefits from the sun and the stars. And it takes somebody of more knowledge of those things than I to tell you all the benefits that we humans get because of that. We think of something so intricate as air, we just take it for granted. We just breathe in and breathe out and until we don't have it. Until we're in a confined space where the air supply is limited. Oxygen is limited. And then we realize how precious a gift the air is for us. And when you consider the air, you consider we take in oxygen and we expel carbon dioxide. And we can't live on carbon dioxide. That's why we expel carbon dioxide. But the plants take carbon dioxide. They live off the carbon dioxide that we expel and give us the oxygen which we stand in need of. God knew what He was doing, didn't He? Amen. He prepared all of this for our benefit. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms chapter 36. Psalms 36 and verse 6. We read here in verse 6, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep." Just think on those two things. His righteousness is a great mountain. His judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How is man and beast preserved? Man and beast is preserved by the providence of God. And if I get sick, that's the providence of God for my life, for that moment, for that time. think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning..." Now that's talking to saved people. Whatever comes into our life, this is the will of God for us for now, for this time, for this moment. Give thanks. You see, is what He's told us. It is the providence of God. And it is the providence of God to the unsaved when they get sick. When they're struck with cancer or whatever the case may be. That is God's providence for them. It is His purpose for them. And we who are saved, we know and are reminded that all sickness is a result of original sin. Before sin entered the world, there was no sickness. There was no pain. Just think about before sin entered the world, work was a pleasure. Work wasn't a toil. It wasn't by the sweat of the brow. Brother Mike? I can say that now because my body temperature has gone down a few degrees and I don't sweat like I used to. Oh, I still do. If I get out in the 90 degree heat and get very active, I will. But not... I used to just sweat sitting in the house. And I don't do that so much anymore. Now I'm trying to stay warm in the house. But work, Adam worked. Eve worked. They had chores to do. They had a job to do. They kept the garden. Garden of Eden. You see. But it wasn't toilsome. It wasn't wearisome. It was only because of sin that these things entered. Thou preservest man and beast. He preserves all His creation. It's held in store. It's held in reserve for the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord. And His coming is coming. I don't know when it'll be. You don't know when it'll be, but it is coming. And there will be a day after His coming when be a new heavens and a new earth created in perfect holiness and righteousness. Just like the original earth in the Garden of Eden. You see? And there's going to be a Garden of Eden in the new earth. The new heavens and the new earth. Well, that's getting off the subject. But just think about for a moment. We've established the fact that God's providence never rests. It's always moving and it's always turning. But just think about lives. Human beings' lives in this world. Always turning. Always moving. Never ceasing. You know, I'm old enough to remember a time when you could get up early in the morning, Brother Ron, 4 o'clock, and drive down the road, and you wouldn't meet another vehicle. The cities would be pretty much dark. Houses would be dark. But that's not so anymore. Oh, it may be less traffic on the roads, but you'll see houses with the lights on. And it's said about cities, cities never sleep. The big cities never sleep. Just think about that. Lives constantly turning, constantly moving. What are they doing? What are they thinking about? Well, what are they doing in light of God's Word? Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 6. You look with me here at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That verse tells me that man was always thinking about evil, imagining vain and evil things. Always. Coming up with some new scheme. What's not new at all? As long as man has been, it's been there. We'll see that also. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That tells me it never rests. Turn with me to Psalm 36 again. Psalms 36. And look at verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. Did you catch that? They lay there upon their bed devising mischief. Evil. What did Genesis 6:5 say? Oh, you say, oh, that was pre-flood world. Well, what did God say immediately after the flood? In the 8th chapter of Genesis. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he would not destroy the earth again with a flood. 9th chapter, he establishes his covenant in the rainbow in the sky. And verse 4. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. That is man. That is mankind. In his natural state. Since sin came into the world. That has been the case with every man. And the only thing that has changed it is the grace of God. Yes, amen. I can remember a time laying on my bed and devising evil. Turn with me to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. In chapter 6. Look here at verse 18. Proverbs 6 and verse 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running to mischief. And where does he devise those wicked imaginations? Upon his bed. Upon his bed, at night, during the daytime, always, continually. Every imagination of his heart is only evil continually. And he runs, he's swift in running to mischief. I mean, he's not slow in going to mischief. No, he runs to it swiftly. That's his heart's desire. And so, notice what he told us in the first chapter, in verse 16. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. That is mankind, and that is our world today. And it's no different than it was in the days of Adam and Eve. I don't know how long they've been out of the, expelled out of the garden. Long enough to have, give birth to two boys, and the boys was of age to be able to slay the other one. And Cain slew Abel. Didn't take very long, did it? 18 years, 20 years, 30 years. Wasn't very long. And he manifested his evil, wicked heart by bringing an offering to God of his own works. You see. So, as we think about the wheels, and them ever turning, of course, the wheels is God's providence, but as we think about man, we and a wheel, we would say, well, sometimes one spoke is uppermost, and sometimes another spoke is uppermost. Isn't that the way a wheel goes? You know, never the same spoke until it comes around its turn again. And isn't that what scriptures portray earth as? Men as? There's nothing new under the sun? What is, has been, and will be, you see. The seas, the tides come in and go out, constantly flowing. Constantly. You have constantly a low tide and a high tide. Well, if you've got a low tide, then it's constantly going down until it's constantly coming back up. And it's just a constant thing. The earth. Constantly turning and constantly rotating. What is it they say? The sun only makes one revolution every, 25 to 30 days, something like that. Don't quote me on that. I may be all washed up and may not know what I'm talking about. But that just kind of sticks in my memory that that's what it is. The sun only makes about one revolution around about once a month, something like that. So. Huh?
A little less than a month.
Yeah, a little less than a month, I think. So constantly, the moon constantly going from new to full. And that's all depending on the Earth's rotation and the sun's rotation and everything. The sun always coming up in the morning, always going down at night, someplace. Where it's night here, it's morning somewhere else. It's come up somewhere else. The seasons are similar. Romans 8, the last verse of Romans 8, told us that as long as the earth shall be, we're always going to have the seasons. God's providence, ever moving from east to west, north to south, constantly accomplishing His purpose. We read in verse 10, we read, "And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel." They have one likeness. And it was as a wheel within a wheel. That shows us all providence. Well, it's constantly moving. Constantly moving to all of His creation. Giving each individual. Boy, imagine that. Population of the earth right now is what, eight? 8 point some billion people on the earth? Phew. And I mean, that seems like that'd be a full-time job, doesn't it? Just seeing too that 8 point whatever billion people had something that they need just for life, sustenance, not to mention all the other things that's involved in His providence to that 8 point some billion people. Not to mention all the creatures, other creatures that are upon the earth. God providing for them. Not to mention all the planet life, the plant life that's on the earth, and God's providing for them. Oh! Well, let's not forget the seas also. You know, the fishes in the seas. The plant life in the seas. And He's giving the oceans just what they need. We lived on over towards the west coast for a while and visited over around Clearwater quite frequently and the Gulf over there and took some dolphin tours in the Gulf. And the Gulf is 6 times more salty than the ocean. And either one of them are saltier than what you'd want to drink. But the Gulf is 6 times. Now, why do you suppose the Gulf never gets any saltier than 6 times? Why do you suppose the ocean stays at its constant level of salt? Well, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? And our great God is in control of all that. Wow. And how does fresh water flow in to the ocean? And it's fresh water flowing into the ocean, and it becomes salt water. You would think the fresh water would dilute the salt water. But my mind's just running wild right now. Well, not normally. You know what? Why? I know that's in the hands of the Almighty, the Sovereign God. He's in control of it all. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. You look with me here at chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Did you notice that? Constant revolving of men on the earth. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. And that'll go on until the Lord comes, takes care of it. The sun also ariseth, and the sun groweth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Just think about the faithfulness of the sun to rise and to set. It's so faithful in its rising and setting that the meteorologist can tell you what time on any given day the sun is going to arise and the sun is going to set. How do they know that? Because the faithfulness of God in bringing it to pass. That's amazing, isn't it? The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. You can count on it. I mean, sometimes I go out here and it feels like the wind is coming out of the east, and I can walk out there an hour later and it feels like it's coming out of the west. And I can, it's coming out of the south. No, it's coming out of the north. We experience that, don't we? And if it was always blowing from the west to the east, well, it would come back around, wouldn't it? Yeah, always come back around. But think about where that wind goes when it's blowing. Where does it go? You can drive a few miles down the road and the wind's not blowing there. Well, now how's that? All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Oh, there was one I forgot to mention. those freshwater rivers running into the sea, into the ocean. Not only does it dilute the salt water, but the sea are not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Think about that. That river just keeps flowing. Well, when it run out of water, well, if the Lord quit sending rain, it would eventually dry up. It never runs out of water. Continues its flow. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Well, that's the state of man, isn't it? He's always laboring to get more. He's never satisfied with the fruits of his labor. He always wants more, and he thinks if he works a little harder, he can get more. And some of us are never quite satisfied with what knowledge we do have. We're always hearing and looking for more. Continue. Think. Look at chapter 4. Keep your finger in chapter 1. Chapter 4 and verse 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Man that is never satisfied is what? Is vanity and a sore travail. God's not pleased with that. A man that is not satisfied with what God has given him and the state that God has placed him in, God's not satisfied with it. He's void of truth. The truth of the providence of God. And trusting His providence to be sufficient for his state. Verse 9 of the first chapter. The things that have been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. What did we say a little bit ago? That which is, has been, and will be. That's what that verse said in short. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2 and verse 12, where we read, And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cannot, or that cometh after the king? What can he do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. You see, the man that follows the king, the man that follows the president, what can he do that hasn't already been done? At some point in time, at some point in history, what can they do that hasn't already been done? Chapter 3, verse 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Actually, I want verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. You see, it's just continuous one circle. Continuous round and round and round, over and over, again and again. Chapter 6. In verse 10. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may be contend with him that is mightier than he. You got that verse? It's talking about contending with God. Now, can he contend with God? Well, men do. Men do.
All the time. Wicked men do all the time. Sometimes, maybe I do. But there's coming a day when not contend with Him. His word will be final. We may think not
right now, but there's coming a day when we'll know that it's final. You see, all man will know that it's final. Now back to verse 10 of chapter 1. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Huh? Is there? Is there anything where it may be said, it is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Nothing new under the sun. He said, turn with me Psalms 104. Psalms 104 and verse 24. And He increased His people greatly and made... I got wrong chapter. So it's the wrong verse. 104, 24. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works in wisdom... Hast Thou made them all? The earth is full of Thy riches. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. All in the blessed work of salvation. And the administrator of that, the one making it effectual, is compared to what? Is compared to the wind that blows. John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so salvation is the providence of God. Amen. Upon the lives of those whom He chooses. Praise God, He chose me. And His Spirit moved as the wind upon me. Couldn't see where it came from. Couldn't see where it was going. But you sure could see the effects. Amen.